the next few moments, I'd ask that you work with me and use your God-given gift of imagination. And to begin, imagine that you are looking at some photos of a family event, possibly on your mobile device, some of us in the old-fashioned one, picture album. And we're looking at, let's say, a wedding, a family wedding. And you see the bride and groom and their grandeur, you see the guests, the smile, the happiness, the love. But you know there's more because it's part of your family. And there's more to give this story, sort of not the essential story, but to give it some added dimension. And you remember, or you recall, if you weren't there at the time, that the bride showed up 15 and a half minutes late. And you were told that, or you saw, that the groom had insisted on wearing tuxedos and having blue ears. You forgot how to put them on, and his was perfect. Or perhaps the person presiding at the wedding had partly through and had that brain cramp that forgot being the bride and groom and had looked down again. All these things that give uniqueness and character to this very important family event. Now I suspect, as you read the Bible, you will see that also what you have is this big picture of an event in the ministry, particularly in the Gospels, in the ministry of Jesus. But there are a lot of details that weren't needed. And the writer had so much to write that he left them out, but they were there. So take our imagination back 2,000 years and think of that event that I just read in the Gospel of Simon and Jesus at the Sea of Gennesaret, which, by the way, is the Sea of Galilee, or if you like, a very Sea of Tiberias Lake. It's got a lot of names. And you meet Simon, and Simon is in a bad, bad mood. You would be too, but Simon has fiery personality, so plenty of it more with him. He'd been out all night, he was a fisherman, he knew where the fish were, he had looked on the catch a thing. He was tired. He was coming back to shore. He was grumpy, and likely someone there got in his way, like again a few nasty words said. This place that got to shore got the boat more or less tied down, whatever they did it 2,000 years ago. And he sees this crowd of people coming down, following a man that he had met, a man named Jesus. By the way, Jesus had been in his house a few days earlier. And since Simon's mother-in-law had been quite sick, high fever, and cold, and Jesus got in, laid his hand, prayed, and she was better. So they knew Jesus was Simon did. But when Jesus came to him and said, would you go there just a little bit? People are crowding, you're close. I can't see the back row. They can't hear me. Why could be up a bit? Simon likely thought, he's kidding me. I just spent 10 or 15 minutes tying this thing up. I'm hungry, I'm tired, I'm sleepy. He's kidding. That's what he likely thought, or something like that. What he did was, unfasten the boat, put it out of bed, give Jesus a chair for he could teach, from which he could teach, and he took his nets into the back behind Jesus and washed them, cleaned them, mended them, as Jesus taught. And as Jesus taught, Simon like thought, this guy is alright. He's telling me things about God that I didn't hear in the synagogue, not that I knew very often. He's a pretty neat guy. He listened and thought, I think I understand a bit how God loves me. Maybe. Then Jesus dispersed the crowd. They started to move away and he turned and decided to reflect and thinking, well, finally, I'm going to get home. See my wife, see my children, have something to eat, get sleep, whatever it was. And then he heard these words, put the boat out of the lake, and she ran out. Not sure, Simon, because as we meet him later later on in the gospel, slightly thought, something to this effect. Who does he think he is? He's a carpenter. I'm a fisherman. I know where the fish are. I'm just like, yeah, I'm his classmate. I know they are most of the time. What's he doing? And they thought, maybe if I argue with him, we'll go longer. Just go out. Just go out in the water. Put my head in. That's the fastest way. And so that's what he did. Lo and behold, in the next about almost immediately, the fish jumped in and lingered. He was straightened after so much, he had to help his sidekicks, and James and John, who were on shore, called them out. Both boats were filled, not their small boats, but still, for the time. Pretty remarkable catch. And now, Simon thought, what am I doing here? I'm almost certain he would have thought something like this. I don't look around, it's nice. There's something about God about him, and he scares me. I've done too many things that God could fit before. That's what he was taught, by the way. If you read a part of a lot of the Old Testament, so he thought that has to be thought. Of course, what he did was he went over and threw himself in front of Jesus and said, Take me away from you. I'm a sinful man. And to paraphrase what Jesus said, ignoring that thing of, I'm a sinful man, he said, Simon, you are accepted. You are accepted into God's kingdom. And not only that, but I have a couple of little additions if you choose to accept that I would like to have you do. I think you have to come with me. And Luke told us in the gospel that in fact, despite whatever thoughts that Simon had, he dropped off, along with James and John, and followed Jesus. For years about this story, something has bothered me. And imagine if you're all in a new room every year that your husband comes home some nights. I'm throwing it all away and I'm following this itinerant creature. If you are your husband comes home, those of you who are married or in a relationship, and says, I'm leaving the business, I'm doing all this. I suspect what happened, because Luke would not have told the story if there's a call of disciples in the next school. Luke had a way of writing about the equality of all people within God's love. Now, this is not biblical, but I suspect it could be that what happened was that they were around Capernaum at the north end of the Sea of Galilee, following Jesus, close enough that might be oversee James and John and Simon. By the way, Simon was later named Simon Peter. But that they were close enough to Capernaum that they could sort of pass it over. Simon's case, maybe his son, and James and John, and those of you who have sons taking over family business, when dad, I know we're taking over, it's back to you. But many significantly follow Jesus. All of Jesus' invitations, you are accepted. Well, like I said, Simon got the name Peter the Rock, or Simon Peter, Simon the Rock. After he revealed or said to Jesus at Caesarea Philippi, which is north of Capernaum, he said, you are the Christ, you're the Christ, you're the promised one. And she said, yes, Simon, you are now Simon the Rock, upon you I will build my church. But Simon never quite could get it right for a long time, because the next day when Jesus said, this is sort of what Messiahship is about. He said, Simon went to him, Simon Peter went to him, you got it all wrong, Jesus. You need a public relations firm here, that's not what Messiahship is like in the Bible, the way it's in our Bible. It was one that would restore Israel. But instead, you get behind me saying, that's not the real Messiah. But then again, he had to say to Simon Peter, you are accepted. And Simon Peter, who denied him after the crucifixion, he's against it, you are accepted. And Peter, did you hear in that first reading of Paul, rather, in the first reading today, how Paul said, I'm the worst of all sinners, by the grace of God. I'm accepted into God's love in good times, bad times, and all Mediterranean Sea at Eastern Edge, come across the Mediterranean Atlantic, across the Mediterranean here to this lovely island. And as Jesus said in these stories, in small stories as well, that's the one that today it says to you, to you, to you, to you, to you, to you, you are accepted. You are accepted in God's kingdom and God's love. And things are really bad. God said there's nothing you can do to turn away that acceptance. You can walk away, but there's nothing you can do that that is not there waiting for you. You are accepted. We're children of God, part of the Jesus movement, accepted into God's love. And so we as a community gathered, leave here, even the community scattered, remember we are accepted. But God's mission, if you choose to accept it, as he used to say in that old television program, is to accept it, to go and share that love with the others you need. That love of God, whom we describe as the one who created us, the one who Jesus redeemed us, the one who the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. The God to whom and in